Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is Tim Roden once again here. We are live here on Sunday night, Eagles Nest Broadcasting. Vince will not be able to join us tonight, but we're going to have a good time anyway. It's Easter. It's Easter, okay? Why do we celebrate? You know, I was just thinking about that today. I mean, I ended up going to work early this morning. We had our store open, but Walmart was open. Target was open. Mall was not open. I went past one shopping center, and the only thing open there was a bookstore. Best Buy was closed. Office Depot was closed. Michael's was closed. You know, all the usual Sunday places were closed. You know, Chick-fil-A, all that. But, all the eating establishments were open. Why do we celebrate Easter? In my opinion, Easter is a bigger holiday than Christmas. Yeah, I mean, Christmas, yeah, Jesus came, he was born. All right, happy birthday, Jesus. The birth had nothing to do with what we celebrate. What we celebrate is the resurrection. Of course, we just completed the Passion Week. Passion Week begins with Palm Sunday. It concludes, the middle of the week, Friday or Wednesday, depending on how you think on that. We had the crucifixion. Horrible, tragic, deplorable scene. If you ever watch The Passion, you know how awful it was. But you know what? Jesus could have come any time in history. But he chose to come at a time when crucifixion was the primary mode of death or of capital punishment. Why? Because he had to shed his blood. Yeah, could he have come at a time when all he did was chopped off the head? Maybe. Firing squad? Some blood shed. But only the crucifixion could drain all the blood that was needed for a sacrifice. Okay? Think about that for a little bit. And also the reason for this week. If you know what happened on Passover, he was the Passover lamb. We'll talk about that as far as the holy holiday. Yeah. The holidays, Jesus on his first coming fulfilled the spring holidays, which was Passover, First Fruits, and Pentecost. Yeah, he came from the dead on First Fruit. Okay, he was the first fruit of the resurrection. Yeah, just like he raised from the dead, we will all raise from the dead one day. But in all that, we're looking at a Jesus crucified, buried. They put him in a tomb, a rich man's tomb. What was the purpose of that? The psalmist talks about that. Let's go ahead and look that up. Where was that? Nice having. Let's see. Oh, Well, I'm going to turn to Matthew, and we might be able to find it from there. But he was, he died with the poor. He was buried with the rich. You know, Lazarus came forth, not Lazarus, but Joseph of Arimathea, offered his grave. They set a guard on it and sealed it, a Roman seal. Let me explain to you what happens with a Roman seal. If the seal is broken, then those guarding the tomb are liable for what is missing on the sealed tomb. So they had to be bribed by the Pharisees to come up with this story. Always look at the Pharisee. They always come to your rescue. And even Matthew 27:57, when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was a Jesus disciple. He went to Pilate, begged for the body of Christ, and Pilate commanded the body to be delivered, and Joseph had taken the body, wrapped it in linen cloth, laid him in a new tomb, which he had hewn from the rock, and rolled a great stone on the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting against the sepulchre. Now the next day, the following day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together into Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that the deceiver said that while he was yet alive, after 3 days he would rise again. Commanded therefore the sepulchre to be made sure until the third day, lest the disciples come by night and steal him away." And he said unto the people, "He has risen from the dead, so the last error would be greater than the first." And Pilate said to them, "Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can." So they went to the sepulchre and sealed the stone and set a watch. 28. And at the end of the Sabbath, it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulchre, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was as lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for fear of the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye who ye seek is Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, he is risen, as he said. Come to the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth into Galilee, where you shall see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with great joy. They did run and bring the disciples word. And they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Hail." And they came and beheld him by his feet and worshipped him. And said Jesus to them, "Be not afraid. Go and tell the brethren that they go into Galilee, and there you shall see me." Now, when Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came unto the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things which were done. And when they were assembled and the elders had taken counsel, they gave large sums of money to the soldiers, saying, "Ye, the disciples, come by night and stole him away while we were slept. And if this being come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." So they took the money and did what they were taught, saying, as commonly reported among the Jews to this day. It's probably still to this day, too. So, crooked politicians, nothing new under the sun. I mean, they'll lie about anything here. So Jesus raised from the dead? Absolutely. Did he come up with some cockamamie story about how he didn't raise from the dead? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Did they have something to spread that would convince people if they didn't want to believe that he didn't raise from the dead? Yeah, absolutely. You have to look at the whole story. Yeah, it was great to see this week that Trump was exonerated, no Russian collusion. But we have a colluder, and they won't investigate it. Her name is Hillary. Sold uranium to the Russians, did speeches for the Russians, received great amount of money from the Russians. Nobody's investigating it, okay? Donald Trump thinks about building a building in Moscow, and he gets condemned for it by the media. Come on. Double standard. We have a double standard with Jesus, too. He raised from the dead. He's alive forevermore. While he hung on the cross, one thief looked at him and said, "Hey, show us your power and get us, rescue yourself and us." The other one said, "Hey, look, he's done nothing wrong. We deserve what we're getting. Hey, Jesus, do me a favor. Just remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered the second man, "Today you will be with me in paradise." See, you can be with Jesus too in paradise. Be with him in heaven. You can be with him for all eternity. See, he's going to come back one day as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We sing that cantata at Christmas. We need to sing it for Easter too. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now, he wouldn't be able to reign forever if he didn't raise from the dead. The whole book of Revelation is because he raised from the dead. The whole book of Acts was because he raised from the dead. I'm sorry, there is no rest of the New Testament if Jesus did not raise from the dead. If Jesus didn't raise from the dead, we'd be stuck with just an Old Testament. We'd still be sitting here talking about the prophecies of the Old Testament. We'd be laughing at those Jewish people because none of it ever happened. We probably wouldn't be studying it even. Because we'd still be heathens living in the ways of sin, going to our temples, sacrificing to unknown gods, doing all kinds of strange ritualistic worship, offering our children to Moloch. Hold on, we're doing that anyway, aren't we? It's called abortion. Okay. Had to throw a little politics in there. Oh, well, all right. But Jesus rose from the dead. Without that, we have no hope. See, why did he come to first place? Why did he have to die in the first place? Well, sin offering had to be made. See, before Jesus' death, every year for the Day of Atonement, sacrifice was made at the temple, and there was a sign given with that saying that God had accepted that sacrifice for the following year. You know that after Jesus' death, that sign was never given? Why? Because the sacrifice had already been made permanent. We don't need a temple anymore. They destroyed the temple in AD 70. They changed Judaism altogether. We don't have a Judaism that worships at a temple. Yeah, they're trying to get the Temple Mount back. They've studied the Old Testament system. They know how the priests are going to act and how to make a sacrifice. But they're not doing it. And something says, why are we not making sacrifices? You see, before that, they had a temple in Jerusalem. They had a tabernacle. Why isn't there a tabernacle? You'd think the Jewish people would have a tabernacle somewhere, just waiting for the Temple Mount to open up so that they could put a real temple up there. But they don't have it. Well, they're practicing Talmudic Judaism, which does not need a temple. They need the temple. So what are we looking at when it comes to the resurrection? So Jesus died. He paid the sin penalty. But he was promised a kingdom. The Old Testament promises Jesus a kingdom. The coming Messiah will one day rule and reign forever and ever. Well, he didn't do that his first coming. He died, he buried. Cross. He told the disciples in the upper room after the Last Supper, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. What a promise. What a statement. Now, how big is this house that he has to prepare a place for each of us? I'm going to read the book of Revelation. It talks about the city four square. It's huge. Read the dimensions sometime. I don't have it at the top of my head, but it's huge. Absolutely huge. I'm going to be doing a study in my church on wealth. Looking forward to studying the wealth of heaven. You realize how wealthy that place is? Stone, precious stones for gates, gold for streets. It's going to be a wonderful place. But in looking at all that goes on, in looking at the kingdom, we have to be aware that Jesus died. He paid a sin penalty. What's sin? Sin is anything that misses the mark of perfection in the law. When you lie, when you steal, when you even put something above God, you've sinned. When you make a bigger priority out of making money than you do out of making sure that the people working for you get a chance at hearing the gospel. Think about it. R.G. Letourneau was one of the great industrialists of his age, but he made sure every worker he had Sunday off, and he had chapel services where the gospel was given out. He even had Billy Graham preach one of them. Yeah, he got to preach the opening day of a certain dome here in Longview. They had a dome that he was going to, he wanted to make a chapel out of. They ended up making a manufacturing area out of it. But he had more concern that his workers heard the gospel than he ever did of making a dime. He made a lot of money in his life, but he gave a lot of money back. He had missions in Peru and in Liberia, Africa, that he 100% funded himself. And he was also a big giver to missions through his church. He was Christian Missionary Alliance. I've actually attended the church he used to attend. But it's not that particular church is not in that building anymore. But yeah, he built that here in Longview. He built it in Peoria. He built it in Toccoa Falls. He built it in Stockton, California. He built it in Vicksburg, Mississippi. Wherever he had a plant, he preached the gospel. He bought a private jet. And the original purpose was just so he could fly between his factories. You know, Longview to Vicksburg is not an easy trip when you fly commercial. But if you got a private jet, be there in a couple of hours, do your business, fly home, you're done. And if you fly commercial, you got to catch a plane to Dallas, do a transfer, sit a few hours in the terminal, fly to Vicksburg, do your business. You know, it's an all-day thing. He didn't have time to waste. He bought a jet. Then he got thinking, I need to use this jet for more than just my business. So he started booking speaking engagements around the world, around the country for the most part. He said he could reach every part of the United States except for extreme northwest and extreme northeast. On any given day, on a work day. So he could get off work at 5 o'clock in Longview, hop on his private jet, fly to Columbus, Ohio, and be there in time for a 7 o'clock speaking engagement. What a novel concept. Then he'd get back on his plane and fly home. It's all for the glory of God. But you know what? He wouldn't do that if it wasn't for the resurrection. By him, through him, for him, all things exist. Are you willing to give God the glory? Today, the final hymn, really touched home with me tonight. I meant to download it before so you can hear it done by the originals. It goes like this. God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he brings, but greater still that calm assurance that life, that child can face uncertain days. Ooh, that song was written in the 60s. You know how uncertain days were in the 60s? We didn't think we would make it another 10 years. All the rioting, all the war, that child can face in certain days because he lives. That child now, it's my age, okay? He's in his 50s. Has he faced uncertain days? Oh, absolutely. But he can sing it with everybody else. I saw a YouTube video with him in it singing with the Gaither Trio. Or not trio, but the Gaither Band. Trio don't exist anymore, but the band. And then we have, you know, and then one day I'll cross that river, I'll fight life's final joy with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory. And they know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth living. Just because he lives. It's a wonderful song. It's a wonderful message. And with that, I'm going to say so long. We'll see you next time, either here, there, or in the air.
I stood and watched an eagle fly, spread his wings and soared across the sky. So gracefully he made your spirit to life.